You know, when there's a job posted and you go for the job and in like a minute, someone else gets it and you're like, oh, that was a slam dunk. Or when you go for a client and you try to earn that client's business and they end up going with someone else and you feel like you really never had a shot. There's a reason. Here's the reason. The reason is because you didn't. Many, many times when jobs are posted or hiring managers advertise for a job, they already have someone in mind. Many times when you talk to a potential client, they may be interested in your services and they may think you're a good person and you do a good job, but they already have someone else in mind. And the reason they have someone else in mind is because that person was already in front of them. They already networked. They already got their message across and they were already working that network before the opportunity even arose. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How you can network like a ninja. It won't feel gross, I promise you. And we're going to get you to a point where you no longer wait, where you go out and get it, even if that it isn't available yet. So buckle up, because we're in it. We're in it to win it today, Podsters. Are you ready to speak up, stand out, and get your seat at the table? If so, you're in the right place. Welcome to Unmute Yourself, the podcast where you'll get real-life anecdotes and actionable tools for you to step into your strengths, debunk imposter syndrome, truly know your worth, and show up like you own the room every time. I'm your host, Nancy Medoff, who did the thing and followed my passion for empowering women like you to unleash that inner spark and become who you know you are meant to be. I'm a diehard foodie with a raging Skittles habit who will not stop until women everywhere unmute themselves and truly thrive at work, at home, or wherever you may be. Let's do this. What's up, Podsters? Here's what's up, I'll tell you. In the past week, I have had three people tell me that they have left their jobs. Basically, they told their boss to take this job and shove it. I don't know if you know that song. And then there was someone else too that I think is that called me and said that they were leaving their job. I'm here for it. And I'm not saying you should quit your job and tell your boss to take this job and shove it. What I'm saying is January is the time. This is the witching hour. This is when everyone, you know, we're through the holiday hustle. We're through the New Year's resolution. We've finally found clarity on who we want to be and how we want to live. And this is when we start making the bold decisions. So what we're going to talk about today is how to make sure that you are networked before you do this. And many times when I say networking, people, particularly introverts, but all people, they get a look on their face and it's an ooh and an ick and a gross face. Networking, it does not have to be gross. It doesn't mean schmoozing around with a glass of wine and backslapping a bunch of people at a party. Networking, or my forensic approach to networking, is just strategically looking at who's in your network, how you can stay in touch with them, where they will end up being able to help you. And before you start to feel bad about that, remember, people like to help people. Think about when someone asks you to help them out, make an introduction. I know for me, when someone asks me to make an introduction, I'm excited. I'm excited to put two people together. I'm excited to see where the relationship goes. I just got a call 3 seconds ago from someone who said, hey, do you know anyone who needs my services? And I can't wait to promote her services. So all of this is to say, asking for help, it is not a fatal flaw. It is not, does not mean you're weak, and it is not icky. So you need to get your head right with that. I can't do that for you. Anyway, so networking doesn't have to be gross. And there is a forensic way to do that. Before I get into that, I want to talk about why it's so important. Many times in the corporate world and also in the entrepreneurial world. So for corporate, if it's a job, if you're going for a job, and in the corporate space, if it's a big client, a big, big client, the decision has been made before you even get to the table. And that is really difficult to hear. And I remember the first time I heard that, I know who told me and I know how he told me and I know when he told me. And it was because I was getting frustrated because I was going for jobs in my company and I wasn't getting them. And I knew it wasn't because I wasn't qualified and I couldn't figure out why. And he used a term, I think it was, he said, oftentimes candidates are pre-selected in this company before the job is even posted. And that hit me between the eyes. And it changed my life because it really got me to realize that I can't wait for the job to be posted. Because once it's posted, many times there's already somebody in mind. And even better, if you network the right way, you can help write that job description. Imagine a job description that's written with you in mind. Or imagine the client engagement that's written specifically for your strengths. The proposal that comes across your desk or the request for proposal that comes across your desk that speaks to all of your strengths. I'm telling you, this is available to you if you network effectively. Here's what I mean by that. You lay the foundation now so that when the job comes up, you are already a known entity. I remember my first big job at Marriott. I called the leader of this organization, and I ended up working for this organization for 19 years. I called her before the job was even posted, before there was even a job open. And I said, hey, I'd like to introduce myself. I'd like to learn more about your team because I'm interested in your team and I'm interested in what they do and how they do it. She was great. She said, great. Why don't you join one of our team calls? I'm going to set you up with a couple people on the team so that you can talk to them. She didn't say, and when a job comes available, of course, you'll be top of mind. She just said, sure, I'll introduce you to these people and you see if you think it's something that you want to pursue. Literally, maybe 3 months later, could have been 6 months. It was a long time ago. A job came available and I had already built relationships on that team. A, the hiring manager already knew that I was interested. The leader already knew that I was interested. She already knew that I was willing to do what it took to get in front of her team and to understand her team and to make sure it was a good fit. So imagine you're hiring for a position and there's someone posting that you already know and that you already know is so interested that she did the legwork and she made sure that it was a good fit before she wasted your time if it wasn't a good fit. And the job came open and of course I had to interview for it. And this was back in the day. I think there were like 30 people that were interviewing for this job. You know, we were all in a separate room and then we were called into the room and I wasn't overly confident. I was confident that I knew what the job was and I knew the skills that were needed to succeed in the job because I had already talked to people and I had already asked them. And it turned out that the people doing the interviewing, I had already spoken with. So it was almost like a second or third interview. All of this is to say that if there's a company that you're interested in, if there's a team within your existing company that you're already interested in, all you need to do is go on to LinkedIn, which if you're not leveraging LinkedIn, I don't even know what to say because we didn't have LinkedIn back in the day. Let's say you want to go work at Target. All right. I'm just using Target, probably because I'm going there later today to return something. But let's say you want to work at Target. You go onto your LinkedIn and you search in your connections for who works for Target. By the way, this is very much a big part of what I do with my one-on-one clients who are trying to find their dream job, not start their own business necessarily, but find their dream job. And I'll get to the business piece in a minute. You go into your contacts, you search on Target and you search on people I know at Target. And then you start to talk to those people. If you're fortunate, they'll probably be a level one connection. So you're already connected with them. Maybe there's a level two connection. Maybe there's a level three connection. You get to that person and you say, hey, I'm really interested in your company and what you do. I'm interested because I think eventually I might want to work there. And I'd like to learn more about the company and what you do. Do you have 15 minutes to spare? I don't know anybody who has ever said no to that. Never have I come across anybody personally or in my coaching with my one-on-one clients who is somebody who said, no, I don't have time for you. So you set up the call, 15 minutes. You only need 15 minutes. If you want to put an hour on my calendar and I don't know you, the answer is probably going to be no. You want to put 15 minutes? Of course, I can take your call for 15 minutes. So you find them and you talk to them and you say, here's what's attracting me to the company. I like your values. I like your product or your services. It's aligned with my values. tell me a little bit about your experience working there. What's the company like? What's the culture like? I can look it up on Glassdoor. And I find a lot of value in hearing from people who are already doing it. Here's the added benefit of doing this. And this is so incredibly important because I didn't do this once and it was a massive mistake. By talking to them and talking to them about the company and the culture, you're going to make sure it's a good fit. It's really hard to do during an interview because during an interview, you're so focused on making sure that they like you that sometimes you forget about making sure that you like them. How does the company make decisions? How does the company resolve conflict? How is conflict resolved on the team? What's your team's philosophy on change management? What are the most valued qualities on the team? All of these questions are really great high-gain questions that are going to get you closer to making sure that it's a good fit for you. So you meet with the person for 15 minutes, you send them a thank you note, and then you stay in touch with them. Simple. Could be every few months, could be every few weeks. The key is not to badger them, right? But it's to stay in touch with them. You know, I really enjoyed our time together. Thank you so much. Is there anyone else at the company that you think I should talk to? Another huge, huge way to expand your network. Tell me what about that is icky. None of that is icky. None of it's icky to me. If it's icky to you, tell me because I want to help you through it. Send me a DM. Let me know why that sounds gross to you and we'll work through it. So that's one way to get in front of a company that you want to work for. That is a very quick and easy way to do. Another way is to set up an alert on your LinkedIn or your Indeed or wherever that shows you what jobs are coming available and get to someone in that department. Because if there are the same types of jobs coming available, there's some kind of reorg happening. Something's not working. You know, so if you see 5 marketing positions or 5, you know, whatever your skill set is, positions, look and see if you see a trend. See if you see some trending in the jobs that are being posted because there's turnover. There's either turnover or they're expanding their department. And that's interesting. Why? Why are they expanding their department? Are they growing? Was there a big coup? You know, you want to learn as much as you can about the company. So that's a way to network, which probably would take you maybe 15 minutes. Here is a way that takes more time and is going to yield you excellent results. So this is what I call forensic networking. This is a big part of my Land Your Dream Job in 90 Days course, big part of my one-on-one coaching. I call it forensic networking because what you're going to do is you're going to go through your contacts a little bit at a time, maybe for the next 2 weeks while you're drinking your coffee, you do this, or your whatever your beverage is in the morning. Maybe you lock yourself somewhere for 4 hours and bang through this. It's going to take time. I'm not going to lie. And you give yourself a little spreadsheet. And if spreadsheets scare you, or you don't like spreadsheets, I hate spreadsheets, hate them. I also know that they're the easiest way to sort and categorize and get to the data that I need to make good decisions. So I'm going to have to insist that you do a spreadsheet here. So you set up a spreadsheet. Very easy. Column 1, the person's name. Column 2, what are they to you? Are they a potential connector? Are they a potential coach? Are they a potential client? And I would put coach or connector or client. The next column, is going to be where they live. The reason why I want you to put where they live is because if you're working on this forensic networking while you're still working for a company and you're traveling, this is like my best kept secret. And I can't believe I'm just giving it away here, but I am because I feel really passionately about this. Where they're located while you're still working, if you're traveling to that city on business, you can make it a point to see them and stay in touch with them. Now, I'm not saying that you phone it in on your existing job and you say, sure, I'll go to that trade show or whatever. And then you blow it off and go meet with all your connections. I'm saying that let's say you have an event in Chicago that you have to go to and you live in Boston and you travel to Chicago, you can make sure that in your spare time, you are strategic with who you're seeing. And if it's somebody that's a connector or a coach or a potential client, you can make sure that you're meeting them for a cup of coffee, or you can make sure that you're meeting them for a beverage or a walk on the lake or whatever it is. You can make sure that through the coming weeks, months, or even years that you're continuing to build your network in person as much as possible. Okay. So then you put where they are. I would, the next column, the date that you last touched base with them. The last thing you want is for you to contact someone and say, hey, Paul, I know I haven't talked to you in 3 years, but I really need your help. Can you forward my resume? Nope, nope, nope. That's not what we do over here at Unmute Yourself, the podcast. What we do is we keep in touch with Paul in the meantime. Hey, Paul, I know we haven't chatted in a while. I'm checking in to see how you're doing. I was thinking about you today and I hope all is well. That's all. That's all. And then you wait a month or a few weeks and you say, hey, Paul, saw this article on your business or whatever it is, made me think of you, thought you might find value, whatever it is. So again, there is nothing that will turn someone off more than if you pop up out of the blue, out of 4 or 5 years, and you say, hey, can you forward my resume? I don't even know what to say to that. First of all, I don't know what kind of job you want. Second of all, I don't know why I would forward your resume. What are your strengths? Why do you think you'd be of value? Who do you want me to forward your resume to? Do you want me to throw a bunch of spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks? Or is there someone specific? Is there an industry that's specific? Is there a position that's specific? Can you forward my resume? That's the spaghetti approach, and that doesn't work. For those of you who might not know what that is, that's oftentimes when you want to see if the spaghetti's done, you throw it on the wall and see if it sticks. If it sticks, it's done. That's how you cook spaghetti. It's not how you approach your career. No, we don't do that. So that's the column. The column is, when was the last time I talked to them? And then you can add another column based on whatever floats your boat. It could be their industry. Like, let's say you have 20 contacts that are in the consumer goods industry. You can filter by consumer goods industry the next time you see an article about consumer goods, and that's how you get in front of them. So you can slice and dice this however you want. I am telling you, if you do this slowly and strategically, this will pay off in oodles. I don't even know the term, spades. This will pay off a lot. And it's one of the first things I do with my one-on-one clients, because the other value here is you realize that over the past 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you have a massive, massive network. And you can tap into that network when you're ready. And they'll be there. They'll be there for you if you're there for them. So that's the piece about forensic networking. I am happy to send you a copy of this spreadsheet. I have a copy that I use with my one-on-one clients. I am happy to do that if you send me a DM and if you leave me a 5-star review and or if you leave me a 5-star review. This podcast is now top 5%, and I am so humbled and incredibly proud of that. And the way to keep it going and to keep the momentum going is to keep posting those reviews, or if you share this episode with a friend. So send me a DM, leave a 5-star review, share the episode with a friend when it's done, and let me know. I will email you the spreadsheet so you don't have to do the work. Why make things harder than it needs to do? I already did all the heavy lifting for you. So that's for the corporate world. For the business world or the entrepreneurial world, it's kind of the same thing. If you want to start your side hustle, you do the same thing. And you look for, mostly you look for connectors and clients. You still need coaches, but when you identify that person as a connector or a potential client, make sure that you're checking in with them more often. And even if they're in a different town or a different country or a different hemisphere or whatever, you can still connect with them. You can do a 15-minute coffee talk. You can, you know, whatever the case may be. So let's talk. We're going to move on from forensic networking. And I want to talk a little bit about a mentor versus a sponsor. This is in the book, Unmute Yourself. This is also a big part of my keynotes. So there's a difference between a mentor and a sponsor. So a mentor will help you, and a mentor has an investment in your success. A sponsor will actively open doors for you. They will actively put you, your name, your situation, your resume in front of people that will hire you, for a job or that will hire you for your business. So a sponsor actively advocates on your behalf. That's a lot different than a mentor. Both are good, both are valuable, and both can be leveraged in different situations. If you don't have a sponsor, this is one of the number one questions that I'm asked after a keynote. By the way, I still have space open for International Women's Day during the week. So if you want to bring me to your company, shoot me a note and I'll absolutely would love to talk to whoever is hiring your speakers. The best way to get a sponsor is to ask someone. And if you play your cards right, you don't really have to ask someone. You develop the relationship. And I'm thinking about a relationship with someone that I know specifically. This woman, she did not specifically ask this gentleman to be her sponsor. He believed in her. He liked her. He knew that she was a rising star and he wanted to help her and he was willing to go out of his way. So she didn't have to ask him. He organically did it. And the reason he did it was because every time she could get in front of him, she sat down and she met with him. And it wasn't icky. It was lunch or it was coffee or it was dinner or whatever. And they developed a relationship. So that's really the best way to get a sponsor. In the absence of that, sure, you can absolutely ask someone if they will be your sponsor. You can say, you know, I really admire you. I really enjoy our time together. I really think you can open doors for me. And I'm hoping that you would be willing to do that for me. Can we talk about it? It's that simple. It's that simple. Okay. So that's a sponsor versus a mentor. The last thing I want to talk about, and we did an episode on this and I'll link it in the show notes, and that's your personal board of directors. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because A, there's already an episode on it. And B, I think the forensic networking, I'm going to be honest, I think it's a lot more valuable. Your personal board of directors is incredibly important. This is your team, your personal team that you can call on to give you good advice. You can call on them when you want to network, but they're only five to seven people. They can help you decide if this move is what's best for you. They can help you move towards what's best for you. They can give you the straight skinny on what they think is best for you. But in terms of networking, yeah, they'll help you, but you really need to do most of the work with your networking and they can't do that for you. You have to do it. So your personal board of directors is a group of people. I'm going to have to insist that no more than 10% of them are within your own company. And they're a group of people who aren't afraid to give it to you straight, who will intrinsically know what's best for you. They have to know you and they have to know you well. And they will help you make difficult decisions or help you make decisions when you're not necessarily sure. Now, Podsters, for those of you that are starting out in your career or a little less mature in your career, your personal board of directors now is going to help you make these decisions. As you evolve and as you get decades under your belt and you build your skills on how to make these decisions, your personal board of directors, their role is more to validate the decisions. So in the beginning, they help you make them. And in the end, you know, or towards the latter part of your career, they say, you know what, I agree with your thinking and I do think this, or they say, you know, I understand your thinking and here's something I think you should consider. So these are people that will spend the time, the energy, and the commitment to helping you grow. There are a few people, very few actually, a couple that will always be on my board of directors and they know who they are. And I'm getting choked up. I'm getting choked up even thinking about them because they have been with me and they have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, and they stood by me. And I will be, yes, I'm forever grateful to them. Woo, that was unexpected. I'm forever grateful to them because changing careers, hearing hard truths, unleashing who you know you're meant to be, that is not easy. And you need your support team. You need them. And you need people, I'm getting emotional again, who have the chops to tell you when you're wrong and who have the chops to tell you that they think you're going down the wrong path. if my personal board didn't help me course correct early in my career, I would have failed. I'm telling you, I would have failed. I would have torpedoed my own career. And it was some of those hard truths that got me where I needed to be and that got me to where I am today. And I couldn't be happier and I couldn't be more fulfilled than I am right now. So think about people. You know, oftentimes people, they want to have their family members on their board. I'm not hot on that. And I'm not hot on that because, I mean, if your family if there's someone in your family who is a professional, who is a successful professional, whose opinion you respect and admire and who will give it to you straight, sure. Oftentimes that's not the case with our family. Oftentimes we have family members that are very, very different from us. So if they pass that litmus test, yep, you can put them on your list. It could be an old boss. It could be a current boss, although be careful with that for obvious reasons. It could be someone who used to work for you. I have former people who used to be on my team and people that used to report to me who are on my board of directors now. Don't forget that for those of us who are a little more advanced in our career, the younger people, the younger professionals, they have their boots on the ground and their ear to the ground. They know what's hot. They're the future. So having that perspective, it's also called reverse mentoring. Having that perspective, incredibly valuable. And the key for me is they can't be afraid to give it to you straight. They can't be afraid to give it to you straight. So if you want to learn a little more about that, there is a podcast episode on that. I'm going to link it in the show notes. Shockingly, not one of the most listened to, but okay. There's also a chapter in the book. It's called Find Your Tribe. So Podsters, I think that's it. I talked about networking. I talked about a mentor versus a sponsor. I'm happy to share this forensic networking sheet with you. I think at the end of the day, my goal here in everything that I do is to make sure that you don't make the same mistakes I do and to make things easier for you in your journey. And a little bit of networking now is going to pay off in the long run. So with that, Podsters, I wish you a fantastic week. It's the last week in January and I'm here for it. Ease has not come easy to me this month. And there'll be more on that later. There's some hilarious stories about that. So I'm going to check in with you on that in February. So with that, Podsters, congrats on finishing what is the longest year, month of the year. I mean, does anybody else out there feel like January is a year? I do. Congrats, you finished it. You're on the other side or almost on the other side. And I wish you continued success and peace and prosperity. Peace out, Podsters. That's it for now. That's a wrap, Podsters. And before we go, I ask you, what's one thing from today's episode that you'll use this week to unmute yourself? DM me, email me, send a smoke signal, whatever you need to do. Let me know what you're going to do differently. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with someone you know and leave a 5-star review on Apple. This helps me spread our message of empowerment to more people worldwide. Let's do this.